Lunchtime Live with Andrea Gilligan on News Talk.
Now, over the past 2 days, we have been talking to listeners on the show who got in touch to tell us about their experience of being a widow. And some of the emails that we've received from callers to the show would just absolutely break your heart. You know, how difficult it is for people, how lonely they can feel, how isolated they've often been left. But Fidelma really struck a chord with listeners yesterday when she talked about the cost of being widowed.
I lost my husband suddenly. So one minute he was sitting in the chair talking to me, the next minute he was dead 2 years ago. So it was, it was just an overnight loss. You know, the lack of support there from a governmental point of view is absolutely shocking. I don't think you're supposed to be a young widow in Ireland at all, or a young working widow. For example, if you're sick with work, and if you're getting the widow's contributory pension, you're not entitled to get any sick leave, statutory sick leave. So you're left out hanging out to dry, you know, and you still have the same expenses. So your widow's contributory pension is based on your spouse's contributions to PRSI. But if you get sick, then you're not entitled to any sick leave from the state. And if your employer doesn't pay sick leave, you're not entitled to get it. You know, so basically your contributions are null and void. And then you're dealing with grief, and then you're dealing with kids and like the support. I mean, my husband was the love of my life. You know, we met and got married within 6 weeks. We were together nearly 30 years.
That was just some of Fidelma's story with us here yesterday afternoon. Lisa is with me on the line today. And Lisa, I know you heard Fidelma and the other callers in the programme yesterday, and you're going to tell us a little bit about your own late husband. But is that something we talk about, first of all, Lisa? You know, like the financial supports that are even available to people when they're widowed.
Hi, Andrea. Thanks for having me on. No, I don't think it is something that we talk about enough. You know, I can really identify with everything Fidelma was saying, and I know it's a problem across the board, you know, the financial changes and the things that we have to deal with. And I don't think people realise, you know, some people are aware that the widow's pension is available, and I don't think people realise how that sort of interacts with other payments or how the whole thing works. Now, my situation slightly different to Fidelma's. I don't actually even receive the widow's pension, and both myself and my husband worked since we were 16, but due to some sort of complications in our situation, I don't get that. So, you know, it's had a massive impact on me and my family financially.
Can you tell us a little bit about your late husband, first of all, Lisa?
Yeah, of course. Yeah, so John was my husband. He was just an amazing man. We were together 17 years and he died in December 2019. It was very, very sudden. He had a brain hemorrhage. So we sort of left the house, a normal family, one day and everything fell apart.
And
He spent 16 days in ICU, but sort of that day when he suffered the brain hemorrhage, he was gone from me because he was in a coma after that. And we have four kids who were, you know, they were only 13, 10, 6 and 4 at the time.
So
it just, you know, and John was only 40. He'd just turned 40 the month before. So, you know, it's not what you'd ever expect to have to deal with at that age.
And nobody thinks of that, you know, sure, as you say, four children ranging from 13, nearly down to 4 years of age. You've just turned 40 years of age yourself. And like nobody at that point is, you know, people might talk about putting money into pensions or savings or all of this kind of stuff. But like, you never think you're going to be looking at that or trying to draw down money at 40.
No. No, you don't. And I think, you know, once the sort of shock starts to clear and you're trying to actually get on to the practical things of looking at how you're going to feed the kids or how you're going to pay the bills or, you know, not in my case, but for some people I know, how they're going to pay the rent or how they're going to, you know, move forward with any of these things. It's shocking then when you go to, you sort of think, well, I've done everything right. I've paid all this tax. I've done all this. And you think, well, this will be straightforward. I'm not the first person this has happened to. But when you start to actually try and deal with all the paperwork and all the bureaucracy, it's not straightforward. And the energy that you should be putting into grieving, you're putting into chasing up government departments or financial institutions or, you know, or insurance companies. You know, we've had a lot of people that I know of within a support group that I'm in that are chasing insurance companies for years, and they are having to try and pay a mortgage until that all gets sorted out. You know, and it's just not fair. It shouldn't be that difficult. It really shouldn't.
And this is, you know, when you talk about the contributory pension, and you know, it's not means tested. That's based on PRSI, isn't it? On PRSI contributions. But like, the last thing you want to be dealing with, Lisa, and I'm sure for any of our other callers yesterday and the previous day, contacting social welfare offices and everything else that goes with that, making like it. I suppose, you know, the financial considerations, nobody wants to be dealing with them or should have to deal with them in as a part of a fight or chasing for it.
Yeah, absolutely. And I know, as I said, my situation is quite complicated, but I ended up having to get, months after John died, I ended up having to go and get all our UK records to give to the department that dealt with the widow's pension because they hadn't done it. Now, we'd hit lockdown at that stage. Okay. I was homeschooling four children. Yeah. I was still in total shock, and I had to go and get that information. And I shouldn't have to be doing the job of a government department when my job should be to grieve at that point and to look after my children.
How are you doing now, Lisa?
Well, you know, I think we are doing well on a day-to-day basis. Good. But, you know, the grief is always there. Yeah. And that's something, you know, that I know far too well, unfortunately, from having lost both my parents before I lost John. And the grief is always there, but I think your life grows around the grief, and that's something that I sort of work quite hard on, I suppose. You know, so we are doing well, but there's still a lot of battles, and I'm still chasing stuff up, and I'm still, you know, 6 years down the line, there's still a lot of difficulties and hardships because my husband died young, you know.
Do you have good support in family and friends?
I do. I have some great support. I have my sister around the corner. I have my brother as well. Oh. And I have a fantastic group of friends that I, you know, I wouldn't have been able to cope with. And in the early days, you know, there was great support from neighbours and people local to us. But the other sort of big lifeline for me has been the online support group, the Widowed in Ireland Facebook page.
Somebody mentioned that actually, yesterday here on WhatsApp. People were getting in touch about it and, you know, talking about the fact they found it a great resource.
Absolutely. It has, you know, that's kept me afloat on some of the darker days, because just being in a community of people who understand you and the sort of friendships that have grown from that group and the sort of, you know, the shared experiences and people just get you, you know, and you can't, like I said, I have fantastic support with my friends and family, but it doesn't, you can't compare it to being with the people who understand you and who get you and see all these different issues that we're trying to raise that we have in common.
Lisa, thank you for sharing your story with us today, and I appreciate you getting in touch with us. Maeve is joining us on the line as well. Maeve, I know Lisa's story resonates with you.
Oh, absolutely. And I know Lisa through the Widows in Ireland Facebook group, and we know we are quite close as friends as well. So, you know, it has been a lifeline for me as well. I'm 8.5 years widowed now, and my girls were 18 and 13 when Aidan passed away. So it was very difficult at the time. And I suppose I spent the first 5 years literally grieving and helping the girls getting through school and college, which is really important when you have young kids, you know, to grieve yourself. It's really difficult, but to watch them go through it, it's another form of grief, and it's devastating in itself. You know, as a mum, you just want to protect them and make them feel better. Now, I'm one of the lucky ones. My girls have graduated college and they're both in a good place. But they still live with the impact of losing their dad every day.
And so young, and too.
So young, yeah. Absolutely, absolutely. And, you know, one of the things that we're trying to do we formed an advocacy group, the Widows and Bereaved Partners of Ireland, and the Facebook page or the web page will be launched in a couple of weeks, but we're trying to lobby the government for a lot of changes, you know, as Lisa said, financially. You know, so some of the things that we've come across is really impactful, and, you know, it's really hard to get through the red tape.
What kind of changes might help, Maeve?
So changes to the taxation system, whereby, you know, one of the things that you know, the sick pay, not being able to claim sick pay when you're out sick. So, you know, you have to keep everything running, but you can't afford to be sick. You know what I mean? That's one thing we say. We can't afford to be sick because everything falls down because it's so dependent on ourselves. But the other thing is they offer a tax credit for 5 years, which it reduces, you know, as the years go on, 5, 4, 3, 2. But Dave was on yesterday and he mentioned that he's got a wonderful community around him and they raise money so he could spend the first year at home. Now, unless he's used up that additional tax credit in that year, he loses it. It should be brought forward. If he doesn't use it in the first year, he should be able to carry that forward in the second year. It's simple little things. It's not, you know, it's not complicated. But no, things like that.
But and you hear, Lisa there explaining and talking about the difficulties and the challenges that she faced in the aftermath of burying John. And maybe it's worth just pointing out, you know, Maeve, because this is often something. Sure, people that aren't in this position, you know, or if they're maybe haven't watched or seen one of their parents pass away, they mightn't be aware. So we're talking about, it's a weekly rate. It's €277, isn't it? Isn't that the widow's?
Around that, yeah. And it's a bit more than if you have dependent children as well. You get an additional payment. But, you know, it does impact on your, you know, the tax or, you know, the cut-off rate as well. So if you receive a widow's pension, your cut-off rate gets reduced because of that widow's pension as well. So you're not only losing a second income, but your tax, you know what I mean, you will pay more tax because you're getting this pension as well. And it impacts in so many ways.
And as you mentioned then, on top of that, if you're, you know, that there's no sick allowance or, you know, you're not in a position, you can't get sick, basically.
No, we can't afford to be sick. But the other thing that I wanted to just bring across is, you know what I mean, we're in the advocacy group, we've all kind of tackled, you know, other is some parts of it. One of the things when you have children under 18 and you're applying for the passport, you have to have a signed sole guardian affidavit and an original death certificate, and you send that off and, you know, you get your passport, and 5 years later you have to renew that passport. You have to go through the same rigmarole again. You have to get a sole guardian affidavit signed again and the original death certificate. You know, the situation hasn't changed here.
No.
You know, but it's little things like that. There's big things and there's little things that we could make changes.
I mean, that
on.
Seems like a sort of, a, you know, you would think a fairly easy sort of administrative issue that could be fixed. Yes. Sharon
that's
is...
That's with the Department of Foreign Affairs at the moment to answer that as well. You know what I mean? To get an answer on that. Why is it so difficult?
Why is that so hard to change? Sharon is joining us as well, Maeve. And thank you, Maeve, for getting in contact with us. What's your situation, Sharon?
Oh, hi, Andrea. Thanks for having us on.
Yeah.
I'm good, thank you. My husband, Joe, died in January of 2020. And we have three children who were 13, 10 and 6 at the time. And I also know Maeve and Lisa through the Widowed in Ireland Facebook page. And to say it's a lifeline for so many of us is really an understatement.
It seems that way, Sharon.
Absolutely. The peer support that we get from it, like everything is discussed on that page. Like nothing is taboo or whatever. And it's absolutely amazing. And it's heavily vetted to make sure that there's only widowed people or bereaved partners on it, because you wouldn't believe the amount of people that try to get on it thinking it could be a dating site or anything else. Yeah, oh, absolutely. Yeah, you know, we have to be very, very careful.
A widow support Facebook page? The people think it's a dating site?
Yes. Well, yes, we've had people looking for that or scammers trying to get on or whatever. So it is heavily, heavily vetted. But my circumstances, I suppose, now are that 6 years on, I'm a bit stronger and I'm able to sort of start to advocate for other widows that are going to come behind us. Because there are an awful lot of things that face us when we are first bereaved, as Maeve and Lisa have said. And to that end, out of the Facebook page organically grew an advocacy page for bereaved partners and widows. And as Maeve said, we're going to have the WBPI website is going live within the next couple of weeks. And that is to try to help bereaved partners to navigate those issues in the first couple of years. We have a meeting planned with the Joint Committee on Social Protection, because in the last budget, the government increased the pension for bereaved partners, which was great. However, for those of us who are working, it has huge implications on our taxes, because I'm now down €250 a month because between my wages and the widow's pension, I've gone up into another tax bracket. It has implications on things like Susie grant applications, medical card, back to school allowances, yeah, and things like that. Because actually, you can be over the threshold. My maybe only up to €5 a week, because of the increase in the widow's pension if you're working. And to lose those benefits is absolutely huge. Because, as Maeve said, if you have to go out sick, you then are down to your widow's pension every week, and you've lost all of those other benefits. Because we are classed as a dual income. Well, we're a single income household. But we reach those thresholds the same as a dual income household. Mm. So if I apply, my daughter luckily got the Susie grant, but you know, I have to be very careful to look at what I earn, because if she was to lose that, that would have huge financial implications.
And that's another concern you know that you don't need, and that obviously has implications then, Sharon, if you were maybe thinking of, you know, changing job, or if there was a job, yes, that came with a higher salary or something. I mean, it just seems absolutely, yes, kind of ludicrous. When is that meeting taking place?
We haven't got a date. We applied in January of this year, and I have since reapplied, and they have assured us we will have a date for that. I suppose, you know, lots of things have happened in the past few weeks
where
the government have been busy. But
Will you keep us posted on when,
absolutely,
that meeting? Yeah, do get back in touch with, yeah, us here, Sharon, and let us know, because we'd like to keep on top of this. Emails lunchtimelivenewstalk.com. Sarah's on the line. Sarah, you've been listening to Sharon and Maeve and Lisa there over the last 20 minutes or so today. Like, I know it seems terribly cold and transactional to be talking about the cost of being a widow, but I mean, that's what people are talking about today, is calls for better financial supports and services.
Yeah, I mean, Andrea, it's like shocking. It really shocked me as a widow as to what, you know, the taxes, like the sick leave is horrendous. And, you know, I have a friend who's on sick leave at the minute, and she's not being paid by work, and she's a widow, and she's on the breadline, you know, she's managing three kids. But the tax situation is something that really, really shocked me. Like, as it was pointed out there, you know, when you're married, your tax rate is 88,000, and then that's reduced down to 48,000 when you're widowed. But, you know, if you have a couple of kids and you're getting the widow's pension, then that's reduced by another 20, 25,000, because that's taken off your standard tax rate. So as a widow, raising kids alone, you can only, you know, anything over 23,000, 24,000, you're paying 50-60% tax on.
And that's and then, you know, the point about being sick or being able to get sick, I mean, sure, that's another additional concern, presumably, as well, Sarah.
Yeah, and then you also pay 20% of that 25,000. So the 25,000 or 20, whatever you get, depending on your kids that are reliant on you, you know, that's reduced off your tax rate, but also you're paying 20% of it as well. So I don't understand it. To me, you're being crippled left, right and centre every way forward. You're paying PRSI. You can't claim any other secondary welfare benefit because of your partner's contributory pension, which is their contribution, as it was pointed out yesterday, not yours. So you're being hammered, and you're trying to grieve, and you're trying to raise children, and, you know, you're trying to do everything, and there's just no support out there. And this is why this advocacy group is really brilliant, you know. This needs to be brought to the attention, you know.
Really,
as I said to your researcher, like, as widows and widowers, we don't have time to protest, you know. We're trying to keep everything together.
Well, I have to say, you know, it's remarkable the number of people who've got in touch in the past 3 days, Sharon's, and some of the stories are just, I mean, you know, they're real people in really dire straits and difficult situations, you know, and like, I suppose down to the fact that, I mean, their whole financial circumstances just changed overnight when the husband or wife, whoever it is, you know, passed away.
Yeah. And sometimes it's sudden, like sometimes you've, you know, overnight, literally within an hour, you know, it's just it's really opened my eyes. It's completely shocking that the lack of support there, not to mention the counselling, and I mean it's the lack of counselling and support for teens or for children is very bad too, you know.
Just not enough out there, you felt, Sarah?
No, I mean, I think there's rainbows, and I think the waiting list for that is horrendous. The hospice does do a good service, and the Cancer Society. But if you're not on that journey, if you're on another journey, you're excluded from that, you know, whether it's sudden death or suicide or whatever, you know. And it's really important, like in my case, I'm determined my children will not be damaged by the death of their father their whole life and will not. I know, Andrea, you spoke about your dad losing him, you know, and I mean, a number of years down the line, and you were an adult, you know, you were older. But I mean, one of my kids was 14 when he lost his dad overnight with sudden death, you know, and witnessed the trauma of the ambulance crew and the defibrillator and all of that, which is a very, you know, look, I won't get into it.
But it's a hard sight to forget, though. How are you, Sarah? Yeah. How are you doing?
Well, I'm like my kids. I'm like I want for my kids. I'm trying to put one foot in front of the other, and I know I want to live. I know my husband would want me to live the best life that I could, and not to stop my life, you know. And I'm determined to do that, and live the best life that I can, you know.
Look, it's not easy, and I appreciate you joining us today, you know, and sharing that story with us. Just one quick question, if Sharon, if you're still on the line, there's a listener who's got in touch to say, I lost my wife just 5 weeks ago, or thinking of that texter today. They're wondering about the Facebook page for widowers. How do they join that, or how can they get in touch, Sharon?
Okay, the name of the page is Widowed in Ireland, and if they search that up on Facebook, it should come up. What will happen then is they ask to join the page, and they will be sent a message on Messenger. And what we ask for is, it's horrible to say it, but proof of widowhood or bereavement. Again, it's to protect everybody on the page. And if they have an RIP link, or they have, you know, an acknowledgement link or something like that, that they can send on Messenger to the admins, then they will be admitted onto the page.
Yeah. I mean, it beggars belief, Sharon, doesn't it, that you have to do that? It never would have crossed my mind to think that there's individuals out there that would go to the bother of seeking out a Facebook support page for widows in an effort to use it as modern day Tinder. Like, it just seems bananas, you know. But listen, look, I appreciate you. I really appreciate you joining us today. Sharon, Maeve, Lisa, Sarah there as well, getting in touch this afternoon. You know, we'll continue to chat about this. More and more texts coming in here as well this afternoon. The financial impact of losing your partner.
Lunchtime Live with Andrea Gilligan. Weekdays at midday on News Talk. Conversation that counts.